Once again, we'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1. We're looking at the healing miracles of Christ and to look at two separate cases of Christ healing leprosy. Last week we read verses 40 to 45, Matthew and Luke also give their account of this event, and then we see in Luke 17, Christ healing on a different occasion, 10 lepers. But again, we want to look at this one leper, begin reading in verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he, that is Jesus, straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. We saw last week the condition of this particular leper. We know his condition was one of leprosy, but Luke tells us that he was full of leprosy, which simply means he was in the latter stages of the disease, or the advanced stage of the disease, and that he would soon die. So we then see that this leper, who was full of leprosy, approach Christ. Now, to do that, he would have to overcome many obstacles, because again, a leper was banished from society, so he would have to overcome all of that in order to make his way to Christ, which of course he did. And we see that he's an example of how you and I, or anybody as far as that is concerned, is to approach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, of course, must be approached in a right way, and this leper is an example of that. We see that he approached Christ, no doubt, with a sense of hope. We read in Luke 5 and verse 12, who seen Jesus. And as soon as he saw Jesus, that aroused hope within his soul. So he approached Jesus with a sense of hope. And if we're going to, again, we're not going to approach Jesus if we do not have hope that he can make a difference. So this leper believed that Jesus Christ could and would make a difference in his life. We see also that he approached Christ earnestly. We see that he came beseeching Jesus Christ, that is, he was very earnest in his pleas with Christ. We see also that he came and he approached Christ with reverence and humility. Matthew says that he worshiped him. Mark records that he was kneeling down to him, and Luke says that he fell on his face. But there was a spirit of reverence. There was a spirit of humility. And we must, again, if we're going to have this reverence and humility, we have to realize two things. We have to realize his person, and we have to realize our person or our character and how undeserving we are. We see also he approached Christ with a submissiveness to the will of Christ. Notice in Matthew chapter 8. Well, let's just stay in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Because each of the writers record this. In verse 40, he said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The leper did not come demanding of Christ. We are not to come demanding Christ. The very thought of you and I making a demand shows that we have not approached him in reverence and humility. This man comes and he says, "If thou wilt." That's the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to beseech God's will. It's to find out God's will. We, of course, most of the time, do not know God's will. That is, as far as what God is going to do. But this man came and he said, "If thou wilt." He submits to the will of Christ. And then notice there in verse 40, "If thou wilt, thou can." If thou wilt, thou can. He came believing in Christ's will, that was what was perfect, his will. He came believing that Christ was able to do whatever he willed. Whatever Christ willed to do, Christ could do. That's still true today. Whatever God wills to do, he can do. We read in 2 Timothy that Christ cannot deny himself. He's not going to do that which is contrary to what he wants to do. To do that would be to deny himself, and he can't do that. So God is not going to do something that he doesn't want to do. And this leper realized that. He said, "If thou wilt, thou can." He believed in the ability of Jesus Christ. And we must believe that God can do whatever he wills. And God does do whatever he wills. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Unto him who is able. And this leper came believing simply that Jesus Christ, if he wanted to, could cure this man of his leprosy, even though this man was in the latter stage of the disease and there was no hope for him, humanly speaking. He believed if the Lord wanted to, he could. And the leper to me seems that he is fine with whatever Christ wants to do. If thou wilt, thou canst. And you and I need to be fine with whatever God wills. We need to be fine with the Lord's will, because there's nothing better. There is nothing better than the Lord's will. When we pray, when we come beseeching the Lord, whether it be on our behalf or whether it be on the behalf of someone else, we do not come beseeching Christ to change his will. All of these people today who says that prayer can change the mind of God. Why would you want to change the mind of God? And who do you think you are that you can change the mind of God? But again, God is omniscient. Why would, if you could, and you can't, but if you could change the mind of God, why would you want to? Do you know more than God? It's not our purpose to change God's will. It's our purpose to seek his will. And that's exactly what this leper was doing. And he approached Christ with trust and confidence in the ability of Christ. And then we see in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Again, we have this leper. He's in the advanced stage of the disease. He's kneeling at the feet of Jesus, and he's begging and pleading, and he's saying, "Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me. That is, you can cause this leprosy to leave my body. And then in verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion. Jesus moved with compassion. Compassion conveys the idea of concern. Can't have compassion if you don't have concern. It also conveys the idea of pity. He had a pity for this leper. It also conveys the idea of sympathy. He had a sympathy toward this leper. But there is a big difference between having compassion and being moved with compassion. Big difference. And we see that Jesus moved with compassion. We see other occasions where this is true also. Notice in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. That is, his compassion caused him to do something, and what he did out of compassion. Matthew chapter 14, in the feeding of over 5,000, and verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So Jesus was moved with compassion. That is, his compassion caused him to act. His compassion caused him to do something. And he acted in mercy toward the leper. And if Jesus, if the Lord heals us of anything, that's mercy, because we don't deserve to be healed. If the Lord prevents sickness from entering our body, and if sickness has not entered your body, the Lord has prevented it from doing so. That's mercy. That's mercy. That's the mercy of the Lord. And he acted in mercy toward this leper. He acted in kindness toward this leper. Again, we don't deserve his mercy. That wouldn't be mercy. We don't deserve his kindness. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that Jesus reached forth and touched this leper. Again, in verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. That is, he reached forth his hand, and he did so out of compassion, and touched him. And touched him. Now, this also is a miracle, that Jesus reached forth and touched this leper. And in doing so, Jesus Christ was not defiled in any way. No one else could touch a leper and not be defiled. Jesus Christ touched many lepers, and he was never defiled by leprosy. That in itself is a miracle, and it exalts the greatness of the person of Jesus Christ. It shows that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the only man who ever lived who could walk this earth and not be defiled. You and I cannot walk a single day. We cannot live a single day without contacting defilement. But Jesus Christ walked the earth for 33 years and never once was defiled. He could eat with sinners and was not defiled. You and I cannot eat with sinners and not be defiled. That's not so. We cannot eat with them and not be defiled. We are defiled in some way. We cannot be amongst sinners. We cannot be amongst the ungodly and not be defiled. We cannot, again, live life without, we cannot live a single day without being defiled. But Jesus Christ reached forth and touched this leper, and he was not infected. He was not defiled. Has he touched the leper? Notice what he said in verse 41, and saith unto him, he is speaking directly to the leper. And notice he says, I will. Remember the leper's request, if thou will, thou can. And Jesus reached forth his hand and touched the leper. He did so out of compassion. And then he spoke and he said, I will. I will. And those two words brought great joy to this leper. And he said, I will, be thou clean. Be thou clean. He gave a command. He gave a command not to the leper. He gave a command to the leprosy, to the disease. And notice in Matthew chapter 8, and verse 3, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy was cleansed. Or immediately, as soon as Jesus spoke the word, this man was clear of his leprosy. This man was purged of his leprosy. What no one else could do, what no one else had the ability to do, all Jesus had to say was, I will, be thou clean. And this man immediately was cleared. The leprosy disappeared from his body. The leprosy was purged. Now notice in Mark's account, verse 42, and as soon as he has spoken, the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Matthew says, immediately he was cleansed. Luke adds a little bit more, or Mark adds a little bit more here. He says, the leprosy departed from him. That is, it was gone. It was no more. And it wasn't going to come back. Because notice it says it departed from him and he was cleansed. That is, he was purged of his leprosy. The leprosy departed, it was no more, and the root problem of the leprosy was purged. There was not only an immediate healing, there was a complete healing. It was complete. Then notice, in Luke's account, Luke chapter 5, verse 13. Luke chapter 5, verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So all three, Matthew, Mark and Luke, record that the healing was immediate. Mark tells us that it was not only immediate, it was thorough. It departed and he was cleansed. Now, Jesus could, had he so willed, he could have healed this leper in stages. And the Lord can heal in stages. And the Lord sometimes does heal in stages. But never ever forget what man cannot do, and man can't do anything unless God permits him to do so. But what man cannot do, the Lord can do so very easily. All he has to do is speak, and it's done. And the Lord can do immediately. He can do it immediately. And the response of man is, we've never seen it like this before. And then they try to figure out what has happened. but they can't. Now, this miraculous healing brought about by the power of Christ was a manifestation of the Lord's grace and mercy. It was an act of his benevolent kindness, and it was followed by some instruction to the leper. And the Lord often, he bestows his grace, he bestows his kindness upon us, and then he gives some instruction. Now, this man did not follow the instruction of Christ, and Christ, of course, knew that he wouldn't. But in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 4, Jesus said unto him, and what he was telling this man was a matter of priority. I don't believe Jesus was saying, I don't want you to ever tell anybody what happened. I don't believe that's what Jesus was saying. I believe what Jesus was saying is, don't be interrupted. Don't let anybody interrupt you. You get directly to the priest. You get directly to the priest. Don't talk to anybody on your way. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. For a testimony unto them, the priest. Now, this has reference to the book of Leviticus, chapter 14. Book of Leviticus, chapter 14, we know that it was the priest who would make the final, would make the judgment that one had leprosy. And when an individual saw a scab on his skin, he would go to the priest. The priest would examine it, and he would say, yes, you have leprosy, or no, you don't have leprosy. And also, on the rare occasions when a leper got better or a leper was healed, he again would have to go to the priest. And the priest would have to confirm that the man indeed, or the woman, whatever the case may be, had been healed, the leprosy was gone. So Jesus tells this leper, I want you to go to the priest. I want you to show yourself to the priest. In other words, I want you to be examined by the priest for a testimony unto them that this man had been healed, that he had been healed by the power of Christ. And we read of this in Leviticus 14, verses 1 through 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. So he's talking about the cleansing of the leper. Not the diagnosis. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. In other words, after this man had been declared to be whole, that the leprosy was gone, he was then to offer an offering unto the priest. This was a thanks offering. This was an offering of praise to God. And we see that as you read through Leviticus 14, we certainly aren't going to do that, but you read through there and you see that it would depend on one's financial status, on what kind of offering that he or she was to give. In other words, anybody who was healed could give an offering of thanks and praise to the Lord. And the lesson there being is when the Lord does something in our lives, and he always is, we just don't recognize it most of the time, but we need to thank him. We need to praise him. There is absolutely nothing wrong with just talking to God about how grateful you are for what he's done. Not asking anything, just, Lord, I've just come to you today to thank you. And just begin to mention all the things that we're thankful for. And we ought to be thankful for all things and whatever the Lord wills, we ought to be thankful. But this leper, he was so excited, he was so thrilled, that as he was on his way to the priest, it was like he couldn't help himself. He had to tell people. He had to tell people of what Jesus had done. And the result was that more and more people came to Christ with their needs, many no doubt out of selfishness, but they began to flock to Jesus Christ. Next week we'll look at Luke chapter 17. We see that Jesus on that occasion, which would have been much later than what we just read, healed 10 lepers at one time. And the Lord works that way. The Lord can deal with an individual, and the Lord can deal with the masses as well. We see on several occasions the Lord dealing with individuals. We also see on a few occasions where Jesus dealt with a mass of people. The Lord can do either. That's the Lord's business. But the whole lesson is the Lord can. The Lord can do whatever he wants to do. Not only can he do whatever he wants to do, he will do whatever he wants to do. And you and I need to submit to that, whatever it is, because whatever he wants to do, that's what's best. Whether we understand it or not really doesn't matter, really isn't the issue. We just know that he does what's best for everybody. Let's look to the Lord and word of prayer.